from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa!
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heaven.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you're having a great day. We caught up with Michael Turner earlier in the show. He says, listen, they'll figure out the running back snaps as far as balancing the attack between Tyler Algier and Bijan. And we talked to both of those guys, Mike, and they've been like, look, we're not worried about it. There's enough for everybody to eat. We're eating, son,
right.
Everybody.
And I know that we've always gone back to Shanahan, seemed to have a good knack, as he did so much for that offense, about how Free would get the ball or how Coleman would get the ball. But in the case of Bijan, he's just more, I mean, Algier, we saw him on the jugs machine catching, what, 500 passes
that's
the
right.
other day?
That's right.
Boom, boom, boom. But, yeah, it's still going to be Bijan doing much of the stuff that we think, what we expect, you know, being that sort of, you know, Christian McCaffrey type. You know, is there room? That's what I'm curious. Is there? How does Algier get his touches in that offense?
I think
he keeps his attitude right, but still, that's a question.
Oh, no doubt. I think, too, again, we talk about these goal line situations and punching it in. I think they're both going to get their fair share of opportunities. Now, at the end of the season, I do feel like Bijan is going to have more touchdowns, Mike, and he should simply because of the receiving aspect of things. But we saw, you know, our guy Tyler Algier take all those balls, so hopefully he's getting what he needs. Hey, man, let's hear from Raheem Morris, guys. They are off today. They're back at work tomorrow, and Andy and Randy will be up there at the Ticketmaster Studios. They'll also have a guest tomorrow, so you'll get a chance to hear that on our show. But part of the discussion, not just here, all around, has been the addition of Matthew Judon. He had choices. He could have gone somewhere else, like, oh, I don't know, Chicago. And he chose Atlanta. Raheem Morris talked about it.
You know, like I said at the press conference, you know, people want to come here. You know, a lot of that's because of, you know, Kirk Cousins being able to come here, giving us a quarterback, the team that we have, Bijan Robinson, some of those guys that are playing here, you know, Kyle Pitts, the GM number two, our assistant GM, all those guys, man, it definitely factors on people wanting to come here and play. And it's a lot of fun when you get people wanting to come and trying to find ways to fit in what we're doing. That's always a good thing.
It is, but he wanted to be here. And we keep saying this, and we said it a lot yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think that's important just from the standpoint of this wasn't a forced situation. You know, somebody that didn't want to be here, and they get traded, and, oh, I don't want to. No, man, this is where I want to go. And he had, again, other opportunities. Raheem Morris was also talking about something, Mike, you had brought up, and that is, can Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons coexist because they are similar in some ways? Here's what Ross said about that.
I think that notion of the strong safety and free safety went out the window a while ago. You know, it's kind of disappeared in the National Football League where safety started to get smaller when the strike zone got smaller and all of those things happen. You got to kind of be interchangeable. We were looking for that a long time ago as Led knows, and I think people have really been doing that for a minute. I think the last kind of system that really featured that was the Seattle 3 with the Cam Chancellor and the Earl Thomas. A couple of people mimicked it. But realistically, it started to look like two interchangeable pieces that can do different things, which those guys are, and the unique and great ball skills that they have makes those two guys special.
And thanks, Coach, for the mention. Thanks, D-Lay. These are two guys that are ball hawks. He just gave you the schematics of it, how it's going to work. Brian McFadden said the same thing to us on Friday. So just more guys in position to make plays. And again, Curtis Simmons is not Justin Simmons is not a small guy. I think, he can bring the thump too. So it just gives you, I know you said earlier, positionless, secondary, whatever you want to call it. Pick's got to come from somewhere. I just can't wait to see what A.J. Terrell can do. Chris had it in our notes today. We've gone two seasons now without an A.J. Terrell interception.
I know. It's a long time.
But hopefully because of Matthew Judon and everybody else up front and the work that they're going to put in, we're going to see this more opportunistic secondary. But certainly the guys at the very back end, the last line of defense, can certainly turn the ball over.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're going to talk about Rook and him picking the brain of some of his teammates and what it may mean for the future of the Falcons. Also, we will get back into this conversation about Tua Tagovailoa. Mike mentioned it in Guy Talk. He said some things about his former coach, Brian Flores. Well, Brian Flores has responded because he was asked about it. He's now the defensive coordinator in Minnesota. But we hadn't heard from Flores, and so we will get into that as well as we move along. And also, Grant McCauley is going to join us here in about 25 minutes. Let's hear Rod talk about Michael Penix Jr. not playing. Mike, he didn't play in the second preseason game.
Man, I don't like it.
He's not playing in the third, right?
I guess not.
Let's hear Rod.
You prepare yourself by mitigating injury, and we've learned so much more in the new game of football and new age of football that we've changed every single year. We've changed the way the game's been played. We changed the way the hits are developed. We changed the way everything's going. So we got a different approach, and our approach works for us. We got him 25 snaps last week of a bunch of different things that we can simulate. Now we're getting the reps out here against one-on-ones and ones versus twos, twos versus ones. I love the competition, and this kid's going to develop, and he's done a great job of doing it already, and I'm fired up to see him to keep maturing and keep going.
We said it yesterday. You take a guy at 35th overall in the NFL draft.
There's
something about being one of those top 50 guys, and we get in the second round, even though with the projections, if you didn't know, if you weren't a Clemson fan about the guy, it was kind of like, well, wow, I thought all those cornerbacks went. Remember, we thought it would be a run on DBs. We thought we were going to get some help for A.J. Terrell. They go with this guy, and again, if he pans out, if he's as good as he's looked so far in camp, big attitude is great, right? I mean, making plays, the reach, the athleticism, maybe this guy will certainly validate them moving up because he was not perceived to be a second-round pick.
Yeah, I've been saying, and again, it doesn't mean that he's going to be successful. I thought he was the third best interior defensive tackle on the board. And to get him where they did, I don't think it was a reach, but, Mike, it won't matter if he doesn't play well. I think the perception of where a guy is drafted means nothing.
Right.
Because when you get a chance to play in the league, that's what it's all about. So where you were drafted, I was drafted third, fifth round. You think anybody's talking about Grady being drafted in the fifth round now?
No.
He's an established guy, and once you get your shot, hopefully Root can turn into that. But I just believe, I think he's going to be an impactful player. And again, I'm not saying a superstar because that's far-reached. I mean, you don't want to say that about any particular player in his first year. But can he come in and, when asked, make the kind of plays we saw in that second preseason game where he's getting pressure up the middle, beating his guy, and maybe getting some sacks or pressure?
You got Grady coming back, is healthy. Onyemata's in that mix. We got so many big studs in that rotation. And then, we talked so much about the Rams draft, mentioned it yesterday, and they got impact players. Like Danielle Hunter, one of the best edge rushers, he was a third-round pick. So
that's right.
That's why, all eyes, it'll be very interesting. I know I will be watching. What does Dallas, Turner do? What does Jared Verse do? What does Leatule do? Because who's going to be the guy? And maybe all the GMs are right. This just was not that impactful edge rusher draft, and you could find value in the second or third rounds, and maybe we did.
All right. Tomorrow, by the way, they're back at practice, and we will have all of the action on Friday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Go Forth and Mike Johnson with the pregame show, guys, by the way. 5 o'clock and then kicks at 7. And then let's be honest, we just kind of go, and we don't want to get anybody hurt, but we get past this. I think the interesting thing next week, Mike, is we'll be talking about some of the cuts. Are we going to see potentially somebody we didn't expect get let go on this team? Or do you feel like the makeup of this team, you have a sense of what this is going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, how many tight ends are going to be kept? Is Ross Dwelly, John Fitzpatrick, how many of those guys are you going to keep? Because remember, Arthur Smith had all the tight ends in the world out there, kind of like Dan Reeves did back in the day. we did it a bit back in the day, Dan Reeves, tight end city. As far as the wide receivers, is this the year where Kadarius Hodge finally gets pushed out?
Mm.
He's been hanging around, hanging out, must have alligator blood. But or is he going to stick because of his special teams? We've talked so much about...
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The guys that have surprised, Chris Blair has had a great camp. Chris Blair's looked good in the preseason games. Casey Washington was drafted by the organization. I don't think he doesn't make the team as a sixth rounder, right?
No.
But then you get in off in the weeds on that. The linebackers, we got some good depth. What do we call it? White noise. Andy Bunker's, he's got the rights to the T-shirt on that, white noise.
He's for the linebackers. Yeah. Staff.
But JT Bertrand's fifth-round draft pick. Milo Eifler is a guy that kind of shined last week. Nobody knows who he is, but he looked great all over the place. Maybe he's a dude you try to stash in the, or along with Natron Brooks, try to stash him on that practice squad. And holy nobody grabs him.
Keep some of these guys that you are curious about, and certainly you want to continue to develop. Meanwhile, around the NFL, guys, there are lots of storylines that are developing. We talked a little bit about it earlier in our NFL Blitz, where some coaches are announcing who the starters are going to be, some keeping it still close to the vest, which, again, I don't understand it. If you drafted a guy like Bo Nix, you just say, hey, he's my guy, with as good as he's looked. Mike, Aaron Rodgers came out today and said this Jets camp has been one of the most taxing in many years for him. I don't know if that's for him coming off of the injury or if it's just tough, because it's been tough and Robert Saleh has made it that way. But we talked about this, some of these storylines, and we said the Falcons, I think, are 19th. Is that right, Chris, on power rankings? And we were like, there's no way. And the Jets were in front of us because, again, Aaron Rodgers is healthy. But he's saying this is one of the tougher camps that he's had in a very long time. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we were looking at the teams out there. Like, part of it is the ESPN bias. They hate Atlanta. We got to just win to shut them up. That's all you can do.
Yep.
But there's teams with much higher odds, in other words, longer shots to be in the Super Bowl than we are. There's teams out there that haven't addressed the defense. That's why the first thing I asked Chris when he showed me this thing, I said, well, is this before or after we went and got Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons?
Because that should have changed.
That would be better. I mean, guys, the odds for the Super Bowl, and we looked at it earlier, it's mostly the usual suspects. You're hearing the same teams. It's San Francisco, Philly, Lions, Dallas, right? And then Rams, and then us, you know? So we should be, look, it's a very, I wouldn't say top, yeah, I guess you could say it's a top-heavy NFC. I guess the perception is more talent and there's more competition in the AFC this year.
I think so.
But you know how it is, bro. Things always change. Some teams can be better than we expect.
No,
vice versa.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just funny. I mean, I guess Aaron, he also mentioned, I'm just looking at this, where he talked about, you know, obviously where he's at in his career and his age, these camps get a little bit tougher. So remember Tom Brady? He like didn't even do anything at camp. At the end, it was like you just show up for the games. So, but he needed to go to camp because again, he missed all of last year. But he would say, "quote I would say camp has been much harder this year, and maybe the hardest in the last 7 or 8 years of my career."
And the book's out now, so he's getting asked questions in addition to stuff about the Jets. He's getting asked questions about stuff from the book. He had to tackle questions about, like, why he was even answered the question about his sexual orientation when he was in Green Bay. So he's got all that stuff to deal with in addition to, you know, being an older guy going through the round.
Yeah. He's single, and that's, if you're wondering why, that's part of it. But, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Hey, coming up, our strong arm story of the day. Who is he asking questions, and is it going to pay off? We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Braves, get ready for a series against the Phillies. Yes, it's always big when we play them, but there are some adjustments to the roster. We're going to talk about that with Grant McCauley.
Oh, there's adjustments, all right.
And hopefully, Mike, we can find a way.
Just like we drew it up in Northport back in March.
Yeah, right. To score some runs. Mm. That's what I'm hoping.
Right.
Right? We can score some runs. Grant's going to join us here in just a bit. We are going to talk about Rukoroaro, and also, Mike, the fact that the defense, let's just talk about the defense for a second. And Grady said that this is the best Falcon team that he's probably been on. He said that on Up and Adams. We'll let you hear it in just a second. But we're all in, right? I mean, there's no debating with the moves that have been made now, the way the draft went. I know they didn't draft a first-round defensive player, but you look at second, third, fourth round, right? You went out. The only thing is that injury to Trice.
Right.
That, you know, nobody expected, but that was a guy that we expected to play a whole lot. But when you look at the 2024 Falcons in the offseason and the money that was spent on Cousins and the things that they've done, there's just no debating. Now, we are all in as far as this defense is concerned. And do you feel like they've upgraded it to a point where now this defense is going to be top 10?
Right. Now, the only thing really missing, and we talked about this earlier, was, you know, Stephon Gilmore, but there's only so much money you can move around. Then we really start to get jammed up in the cap.
True.
As you said, there's a will, there's a way. I would have liked to have seen them, you know, maybe try to kick the tires in some of those sort of tier two and tier three corners or other, unless they feel Kevin King is back to what he was when he got drafted in the second round. And he, you know, this guy's a starter in the NFL. He had the misfortune of a bad injury, and then just as he was getting ready to come back, he blows out his Achilles, right? That's what it was?
He was.
So, or the knee. Either way, they like him, apparently. We know Clark Phillips has got some dog in him. Mike Hughes, you know, they seem to be happy with him. He was here last year. He did play with this team last year. Now, it's not exactly an all-star team, but maybe they feel, especially that what you've added at the front end and the back end, these guys will be fine. That's the only other thing.
Is the secondary the strength now?
I'd still say it's, yeah, you got the best safety tandem in the league.
I think so,
but
too.
But still, if Grady comes back and is as good as we think he's going to be, man, the question is, you know, we know about Bates and we know certainly about Simmons. Who's going to be the opposite number to Judon that's going to really emerge of all those guys?
All right, so with that said, can we hear from Grady Jarrett? He was asked this question on Up and Adams, and this leads us to Rook picking the minds of his teammates. This is Grady.
I mean, we're setting the league on fire right now. You know, it don't matter unless we go out here and translate it to some wins, but I'm super excited. I mean, this is one of the most stacked rosters I've been a part of, and it just makes you want to go even harder.
Do you think this is the best team you've been on?
I mean, it's the I think the proof is in the pudding, you know, on paper, but we got to go out there and do the job, you know, on Sundays, and I think the schedule lines up nice for us. We finally back playing in some prime time, so that's going to help everybody, you know, to let the nation see what we got, and so I'm super excited for us to go out there and just play some good football.
Yeah, and by the way, see, that's the other thing too, Mike. cannot get embarrassed in these primetime games. Right?
No.
I mean, that's the other part. Like we're riding this wave right now. We've not played a snap, a real snap in the regular season. But, for example, that Eagles game, whatever it's going to be on that Monday night up there, right? He's right. Everybody's watching. We got to show out. But then you come back and you're playing Kansas City Sunday night the following week. These games, man, we cannot get embarrassed in these games.
And if Chris Collinsworth brings up friggin' Super Bowl 51 one more time, you know, I'll tell you, that's Tirico now, but it's like, this Falcons team is trying to get these demons exorcised. Here's the, you know what? We're not even into the season. I'm already aggravated by a guy who hasn't even called the game yet.
He hadn't even
called it. But that's the thing. You know, we have, guys, for years, you know, I mean, over half a decade, six seasons, we're losers. It's the greatest choke job. No one remembers what we did in 17. We came up short against Philly. I was there for that one. But now we feel we've got the speed. We got the pieces. We got speed. We got studs. We got the skill positions. And we got great coaching. Look, everybody who's left the offense of Sean McVay has done great things in the NFL.
I agree.
And we think Zach will be the next one.
So, Rook said, I'm wearing Grady out. He says, I'm just asking him questions. I'm in his ear. Tell me this. Tell me that. Because I want to learn from him, especially a guy that's been in the league. And not just been in the league, but he's done it at a high level for years. So, Mike, this is the thing. That curiosity from him, he's not coming in as a rookie like, I know it all.
Right.
Oh, man, I got this wrapped up. We good. He is asking questions over and over to veteran guys, and specifically Grady Jarrett, who says, this is probably the best team I've been on, at least on paper. And I do agree with him on that. When you look at it.
Just made me want to go harder.
Yeah, me too. So, Rook, as Mike likes to say, sits next to Grady at times in meetings, and then he says, Mike, they're sitting there, and he's like, yo, what do you think about this? It's nonstop. Good or bad? It's good, guys. This is what you want from your rookies. You want them curious. Right. You want guys that are interested in how these vets get it done. I don't want a bunch of guys that are like, yeah, I'm not asking any questions. I'm good.
Right.
That's not what you want.
You want to soak it up like a sponge. You got a great resource. You got a guy, you know, there's a connection. They both went to Clemson. They're both guys that, you know, like in the case of Grady, a fifth rounder who just, you know, just blew people away, and with his work ethic and his leadership, he's a born leader. He's a bad ace, you know, and the guy's just really good at his job. And, you know, coming off the injury, you know, you heard Grady earlier this spring, has chomping at the bit to get back out there on the field. Yeah, man, there's nothing. You got to love that. Remember, like, did Vic do that with Dwight Freeney? Did he sponge it up? Remember Dan Quinn's like, I'm going to work with Vic. Vic, are you working with Dan? No.
Okay.
You know, some guys have got the passion and the love for it. Other guys don't. I mean, I love everything we've heard. You've heard us mention the good guy thing about this team. Don't mean nothing until we start winning. I get it. But, man, there's some good stuff happening in this team right now.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. That is on X. We do not call it Twitter. Mm-hmm. Justin Simmons, by the way, I saw this. His style of play. Somebody said this. Dukes, who's he play like? Who do you compare him to? And, you know, I was thinking about this, but then I saw this, Mike, and I had to laugh. People in Denver were saying it's chaos within structure.
Okay.
Meaning he makes plays. There can be some freestyling at times, but he always comes up where he needs to be. Chaos within structure. Is that what we're looking at here? And that's why Rao is so convinced that these guys can coexist and make plays. And again, I'm using the word positionless,
right.
You know, but again, he's not terming them as free safety and strong safety. He's saying we're going to line them up at different places. Mike, that's an interesting term. That's an interesting way to look at it, to say he makes those plays that he needs to, but sometimes, you know, you look at the where he is on the field, he just reads the right plays, he's got enough football acumen to do these kinds of things.
Well, I mean, not to cast aspersions too late, but he's kind of like what Richie Grant's scouting report was coming out of Central Florida years ago, a safety that plays like a corner. But he does it at a Pro Bowl level, and it's got a ton of picks. You know, we've talked about it, man. 14 the last three seasons. We also learned it was kind of cool that he was actually roommates with Chris Lindstrom. We didn't know that.
Yep.
You know, that's pretty neat. But, I mean, this guy just, you know, he's just a dude who is making plays. And that's one thing, guys, what have we said for years? Need guys to make plays in the red zone. Hasn't happened. Need guys to make plays creating turnovers. Hasn't happened for this team for years. Jesse Bates came in here the games we won. Jesse Bates was the big reason we won those games last year.
You mentioned the opposite side real quick before we get to Grant about, you know, Judon. It's got to be Ebukadie, right? He's got to be the guy that benefits.
Six sacks last year, right? And also picks up everything. I mean, and does Ebukadie need a little more edge? I'm not saying he's going to walk around like a bad A, but you got to take what that other side is. Now, again, if they're going to double team or how they protect when Judon's trying to get after it, that should open some things up for the other guys.
If he's getting one-on-ones, he's got to win.
Yes. Period.
That's what we're talking about. Like, if you were thinking, all right, going into this season before we acquired Judon, and you said, all right, who's the best pass rusher that you need to be worried about? It was probably Ebba Cady.
Right.
Now, if you're telling me I'm going to double Judon because you're better, he's got to win in some of these situations.
8.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles going into his third year for Ebba Cady.
Right.
You know, and we've talked about first couple of years, we just, you know, remember, he's gone through Ebba Cady. This will be his third defensive coordinator.
Correct.
If you think about it, right? From the time he was drafted with Dean Pease to Ryan Nielsen and now to Jimmy Lake. But, you know, now I just think no disrespect. Pease was trying to make lemonade out of lemons, couldn't have any dudes. But this is going to be an exciting time. We need him to be that man. Could you imagine the Falcons having two guys with double-digit sacks in 1 year?
It'd be great. And Mike, by the way, if that happens, we're in the playoffs.
And the last time we had that, we were in the playoffs. It was Patrick Kearney and Rod Coleman.
Yeah.
I think that was the last Vic playoff year.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Grant McCauley's on the way. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Braves, the moves that have been made. Ronaldo Lopez on the heel tonight. Philly's in town. There is a lot to get to. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Dave, get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley, Braves insider, covers MLB for us. We go around the yard with Grant every day. We are back home. We're taking on the Phillies. But before we get to the game and the matchup, tell us about the third baseman we acquired, Grant.
Well, Gio Urshela was just so happened to be available, I think was probably the line on the resume that the Braves were most impressed with. But all jokes aside, I mean, he was a veteran who has had experience at the hot corner and could help them out in a time in which they really didn't have the internal options to cover the loss of Austin Riley. I think we all know there was no player who was going to come in and do the kind of things that Austin's capable of and has been doing for the past couple of months and over the course of his career. But this is at least somebody with some experience, a little versatility as well, that could step in on a regular basis and at least help them hold down the forts until they maybe, perhaps, possibly could see Austin Riley at some point, maybe in late September or in the postseason. There's just no timetable on it right now, just to go ahead and get that out of the way. We're obviously in the very early stages of everything, so it all depends on how quickly Austin Riley can heal. But as I've said before, and as we've talked about, he's going to do everything he can to get back as quickly as he can.
And Grant, we were reading up from the Detroit side of this. His now former manager, A.J. Hinch, who's up there, the former Astros manager up in Detroit, saying that he's a consummate pro. They said it wasn't an easy decision. They made room for a guy named Chase Young, a rookie that's coming up in their system. So we see these moves this time of year. He's better than anything we can honestly produce from Gwinnett or from the Double-A.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this was, I think, kind of a courtesy to a veteran player to say, hey, you know, on a team like Detroit, which is obviously not got its eyes on October this year, wants to get a young player up to the big leagues, but also give this veteran a chance to maybe catch on with the club before the end of the month to have a chance to play in the postseason, which is open for players who change clubs. The trade deadline's passed, but if you go on the waivers or get released outright the way that Gio Urshela was, then if you join a new club before August 31st, you are available for the postseason, eligible for it. So that was something that I think they wanted to do for him as much as anything. But yeah, I've never heard anything to the opposite of Gio Urshela in terms of, you know, being a pro's pro and just coming in and again, a veteran guy. And like we're saying, you know, there wasn't a lot to choose from in the minor leagues that gave you a lot of, I think, confidence in what this next 6 weeks could look like. And Urshela was a pretty good option who was available at the right time for the Braves.
Grant, what do you think of the lineup? I know Snit's kind of playing around with this, right? But Harris leading off. We talked about Olsen and Murphy in there and Kelnick. Urshela, what is hitting? Seventh or eighth. What do you make of the lineup? Is this just day-to-day how he's going to see this?
I mean, it's day-to-day, but the biggest part of it being so much of a quote-unquote day-to-day thing is that Jorge Soler may not be back until later this week. Mm. And that, of course, pushes things around, like Harris to the leadoff spot, Laureano hitting up at the top toward the top of the order as well. That's not something I think, you know, too many folks expected to see even a week or two ago. He has been swinging the bat extremely well, but getting Jorge Soler back is a big piece for the Braves now. If you can get Michael Harris to start swinging the bat well upon his return, which he has, but to, you know, keep it going and maybe get a good push from Matt Olson, which couldn't come at a better time than right now, I still feel like this lineup has enough bats to produce when you put Soler back in there, and considering what Marcell Ozuna is capable of, if you can get the catchers going, which right now is going to be Sean Murphy because Travis d'Arnaud is still day-to-day after also getting hit in the hand and wrist by a pitch. It's been a mash unit, honestly, for the Braves. And this one to Austin Riley, it really does feel like maybe the straw that broke the camel's back, but they've just got to keep going. And that was kind of the message from Austin Riley. That was the message. I talked to Pierce Johnson for a while. The message from Brian Snitker today as well. We just have to keep it on going. Actually, I chatted with Luke Jackson for a little while, and he said, man, this is tough. But you've seen this play out before. He's like, yeah. And that's the thing. Guys get the opportunity to step up, and you never know what could happen. And that is the attitude the Braves are going to have to keep over the next few weeks. They're holding on to a postseason spot right now. They have some head-to-head opportunities against the Phillies to maybe make a move in the division. It doesn't seem like the most likely scenario, but I will say, stranger things have happened.
Right. It's Grant McCauley with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We touched on this. Just I want to get your 2 cents worth on it, Grant, about, you know, we saw it was Travis got hit by a veteran, and we saw Austin get hit by a young guy who doesn't have any control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this about sticky stuff? I mean, do the pitchers need this stuff, or is it just a thing where control's just at a premium these days?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to discount it entirely, but I also don't think it's necessarily a panacea. I will also kind of go back on what I just said and tell you that I think Major League Baseball over-policed the situation with the substances the pitchers were using for their grip. I don't think that the spider tack had any place in the game. I know why it did, but I think that was kind of the far end of the spectrum in the too far way. But right. I think Major League Baseball dialed it all the way back to the other end of the spectrum and basically said, okay, congrats, now you have rosin, and that's it. And I don't know that that's necessarily the solution here, but I don't know that it's going to change anytime soon. There was no intent, obviously, on any of these pitches, but unfortunately, this is just kind of where they are. And with the max velocity that we see in the game today, when you get hit with a fastball and a place where you've got some very small bones like the hand, there's a very good chance that it could do some damage. And unfortunately for Austin Riley, it did.
All right, what kind of Phillies team are we getting, man? I know they're 8-8 in the month of August, but they're getting healthy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're looking a little bit better than they were coming right out of the second half. They've gone through their injury stuff as well, though I don't know that any club, especially with a 500 record, has gone through as much as the Braves have. But, you know, the Phillies are right where they want to be. They have a nice lead heading into late August, early September. I don't think that they're counting anything as in the bag just yet. They need to go out and handle their business head-to-head here and perhaps deal the Braves a blow as far as the NL East is concerned. But, yeah, I mean, they're a club that they've got some great pitching. They've got experienced hitters. They've got their eyes on October as well. But I think they're very much focused on the task at hand. And right now that's a 3-game series with a second-place Braves club.
It's our man Grant McCauley. You mentioned Muddy Harris back at the top of the lineup. Does he change anything in his approach from how they tried it after Acuna went down?
Not really. I think he just needs to go out and be Michael Harris. And I think that, you know, he has skills that can translate to the top of the order. We were talking about this way back in spring training. I think I said, you know, Michael Harris on 28 or 29 other clubs could be their leadoff guy or batting in one of the first couple of spots in the order because he's somebody that you want to feature and to see up there a lot more than you get at the ninth spot in the order, which is where he spent most of his first 2 years. I don't think he really needs to change much. He's got the skills and the ability to affect the game. We saw the power on his first at bat back. And obviously what he does for center field, I mean, stabilizing that is a huge thing for the Braves because this outfield has been just a mess in trying to figure out who can go where and what you can get out of them. And the answer has been not much on just about every part of that. So Michael Harris, you hope, can stabilize things. And obviously getting Jorge Soler back out there and in the lineup could also change a few things for the Braves. And I would think now at this point, with no Austin Riley, you look at Michael Harris as a guy that could be batting second for you.
Snit talked about going back to a 5-man rotation.
Yep. Yeah, and he had indicated this a couple of weeks ago that, you know, they kind of gotten to the point where if they want to do the things that they need to do, they can't continue to just work in the odd pitcher here or there trying to just prioritize the rest over prioritizing winning as many games as possible. Now, it's not cut and dried. It wasn't, well, we don't care about winning, so we're doing this. No, it was by design for Ronaldo Lopez and for Chris Sale. And you could say over the first half of the season, it worked. But then eventually, I think Ronaldo got a little bit tired, and hopefully he comes back rested and recharged. He's on the mound tonight, and you can't argue against the fact
fact that it may have been beneficial for Chris Sale over the first nearly 4 months of the season. He's been the best pitcher in the National League. So doing that's not surprising to me. Grant Holmes moving into a multi-inning role in a bullpen that could probably use a little bit of help now that A.J. Minter is out for the year, transferred to the 60-day IL. So you're going to be asking a lot of the bullpen without one of their key arms, and I think Dylan Lee is going to be one of the guys that's also going to be looked upon. Pierce Johnson had a lot of great things to say about the season that Dylan Lee has had, and so did Luke Jackson, just saying nobody's really noticing what's happened in the background here, but Dylan Lee, he just comes in there and gets it done.
Hey, because it's been a minute now with the IL, is it going to have on a short leash with Lopez tonight?
I mean, I would think 85 to 90 pitches might be kind of realistic for him. He threw 71 in his one rehab start, but they weren't going to try to push him too hard. He didn't need to go out there and prove he could throw 90 pitches before they brought him back. But I don't think that they're going to let him be overly taxed in this one and kind of use it to ramp up and to go. An off day yesterday helps a lot. Knowing that you've got a multi-inning guy like Grant Holmes might also factor into this where, hey, if you only get into the fifth or maybe he's not able to go sixth and beyond, then you have Holmes there as a bridge in those middle innings. And I think that could be really valuable for this Braves club. If you're still thinking about ways to help take some of the load off the starting rotation, it helps to have a guy who's proven he can do it.
All right. Grant, we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting series, as it always is with these Phillies. Feels like we're just dealing with a lot, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, more than a few things for this Braves club. And, you know, as Brian Snitker said again today and Austin Riley said, look, we're going through it and nobody else in the league cares. We've got to go out there and handle our business. So everybody deals with injuries. It just does, Carl, feel like the Braves have been dealt one of the worst hands I think I have ever seen, especially for a club that has maintained itself 5 to 10 games over 500 the entire time.
We play the Brewers right now, 6-3 in the NL. I know this is a dumb hypothetical. I'll throw it at you anyway. It's crying over spilt milk, but, man, you just feel like the Phillies were so wobbly. This could have been a series where we were down like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah,
if the Braves have been able to avoid those 6-game losing streaks, just play 500 ball over those streaks. You know, just go 3-3 instead of losing 6 in a row in both of those times. And there were some winnable games in there that got away. And obviously the one in Colorado is another one that you look at in recent memory and think, man, would have liked to have salted that one away. Could have meant another game in the standings. But, again, they know where they've been. They know where they want to go. And now they just got to concentrate on getting there. So head-to-head's an opportunity. It may not be a wide-open door, but at least it's there for you if you can figure out a way to win a series or, better yet, win every game of this series. It would make things pretty interesting, but it's not going to be an easy task, that's for sure. This is a very good Phillies club, and I think everybody knows that by now.
You're right. We do, and we'll see how we fare against them. Grant, thank you so much. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is I said to you guys, we went 6 weeks and gained a game.
Right.
When they were struggling, okay, 18-21 since the start of July, we went 20-22 over that same span. We hadn't seen these guys in 6 weeks, and we only gained a game on them. So
frustrating. And Grant brings up that, like, there's so many games you could point out. Losing 2 to the Marlins.
Yep.
You know, getting whooped on by the Brewers. You just talked about that terrible, you know, blowing that 6-run lead in Colorado. Ah, rat fart.
Hey, coming up, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think he's soft. We'll explain next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you.
Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.